said during the first service, I feel like we could all go home right now.
Isn't this awesome? It's so beautiful. So good. I was not here when they were rehearsing that this morning, and so I heard it for the first time in the first service, and I mean, there were tears in my eyes, my heart was racing, I had goosebumps, and then I had to get up here. I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta control myself. So good. Thank you guys for that. Let's get situated here. All right. Well, my name is Lindsay, and I am one of the pastors here, the newest addition to the pastoral staff, and I am excited to share with you this morning. Already, it's been a beautiful morning, and so I hope that this word will inspire you and encourage you also. For those of you who follow the Christian calendar, you know that Advent is different than Christmas. And we are entering the season of Advent today, and the Christmas season does not technically begin until Christmas Day, and it actually goes until January 5th. So for all of us who love Christmas, the lights, the trees, the decorations, you can easily, without argument, keep your tree up until January 5th, but probably could get away with at least two more weeks after that, and so I would encourage you to do that. And for all the Grinches among us, who take their trees down the day after Christmas, you know who you are. Maybe you should consider leaving it up for a couple extra weeks this year. I'm just saying. But unlike our modern day traditions and kind of the cultural norms, especially here in the United States, the season of Advent is actually not intended to be this cheers and happiness and bells ringing and what we normally see as the Christmas season. It's pretty difficult to, especially again here in the United States, to practice Advent as it's supposed to be because, I mean, so many holiday celebrations, shopping lights, decorations, joyful carols. But Advent is actually intended to be a time of prayer. For some, it's a time of fasting, very similar to Lent. It's a time to lament the violence and evil in the world. It's a time to cry out for God to make things right. It's a time to think about our own sinfulness and our need for grace. It's a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus. But it's more than that. It's also this anticipation of the coming of Jesus. We remember the first Christmas and the gift that we have in him, that God sent his son to save the world, to save all of us from the darkness and from the evil. And it's remembering the promise that he will come again. So it's this kind of combination, lament and celebration, a clashing of darkness with light. And it's one of the reasons that I love this season so much. Because even with the sadness and the lament, we know that light always wins out against the darkness. Easter is real, and Easter changes the meaning of Christmas, and it changes the meaning of the Christmas season for us. And so today, we are kicking off a new sermon series. It's kind of a new old sermon series called Hymns and Carols. This is the third year that we have done this, and I look forward to it every Advent because I love it so much. And so I'm excited to share with you. But if you know me, you know that I am not somebody who can hear a song, name it, as well as the artist. You can name any song to me, and most likely I won't be able to tell you any of the lyrics or even the tune, even if it's one of my favorites. I'm just not one of those people that can. But thankfully, I have a number of people in my life that are music people, and they really can. Like, you can say any lyric to them, and they're like, oh yeah, that's in that song, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not one of those people, but I'm thankful that I have those people in my life, because there are so many hymns and carols to choose from. I mean, all you got to do is Google it, which I did this week, and there's just a list. And then you have to choose, you know, do you want a hymn that's more traditionally Advent-themed, or are you wanting a carol, which is more joy-filled and happy-themed? And so there's just so many different things to choose from. And I joked pretty much all week, it was like my joke this week, that Pastor Dan already has preached on all of the good hymns and carols, or at least all of my favorites. And so this, we were actually meeting as pastors on Monday, and I'm so thankful for that because there was some good brainstorming that was happening, and we were kind of firming up our plan for Advent and all the things that we're excited about and all the plans that we have at church. And during that brainstorming session, we kind of laid out the calendar. And I'm just going to say, you guys, it's going to be a really great Advent season here at church, so you won't want to miss it. But it helped me firm up what I was going to preach on this morning. And the song that I'm choosing, or that I chose to preach on, is Mary, Did You Know? How many of you had heard that song before today? Okay, most of you. There was actually quite a few people in the first service who hadn't heard it before. Maybe this is one of your favorite songs, or if you're like me, it's not the first song on my playlist when I go Christmas shopping or decorate my tree. But after listening to it multiple times this week, over and over and over again, it's a great song for us to hear and for us to talk about this morning as we reflect on the first Sunday of Advent. It's an opportunity for us to not only look at what's happening, what was happening that first Advent, but also reflect on what it means for us today in our world today. Some questions are, you know, why does Christmas even matter? Why did Jesus come, and how does it impact us? How does it impact our everyday, like our day-to-day lives? Did Mary know what her son would do for all of us? How does Advent look differently when we know the end of the story? So those are some of the things we're going to tackle today. But before I begin, I would love it if you would pray with me. Father God, thank you again for this morning, for this opportunity that we have to gather together as your people. Thank you for everybody here this morning. I'm just so excited that they're here and that we can celebrate you today. Father God, I pray that you would help us as we enter into the season of preparation, help us prepare for the coming of Jesus, and help us lament the evil and the darkness while still celebrating that Jesus is light. And he is hope. Help us to hear your word this morning, Father. Be in my words, Holy Spirit. Come in this place. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Mary, Did You Know? Was written by a 26-year-old in 1984. All right. So it's not your typical super old song. You know, it's not as old as most of the hymns that we sing. Well, it's definitely not as old as most of the hymns we sing. But also Christmas carols. It's a relatively new Christmas carol. It's only about 30 years old. And it was written originally, like many songs, it started as a poem. And Mark Lowry, who's the author of it, he wrote it for his Christmas pageant at his church. And it started out as kind of a, you know, they would just ask one of the questions, and then there'd be some sort of act that would happen in accordance with that question on stage. So he wrote it for his pageant, and in 1991, music was added, and it was recorded by, anybody have a guess? Well, that is a major famous one right now, and that's basically what we heard this morning. But actually, you got to think back to like contemporary Christian artists in the early 1990s. I actually really wanted to put a picture of this guy on the screen. So Michael English. Does anybody remember him? You got to go way back in your memory books to remember him. So it was recorded by Michael English, and it's been recorded by many, many, many more since then. I was telling my husband, Tom, that it's easily been recorded by over 100 artists. I mean, it's crazy. You go on YouTube and you can hear it all. I'd encourage you to do that this week. You know, I listened to versions from like CeeLo Green to like Jordan Smith from The Voice, Kenny Rogers, Kathy Mattea, those are some names that might bring back some memories too. But Pentatonix, I would say, definitely ranges in my top few of the favorite versions. And we heard a little bit of that this morning with Lacey and Charlie and Sage. And man, it's awesome. If you have not heard the Pentatonix, the full version, so they actually did a 3-part, but it's a 5-part version. So if you haven't heard it, definitely go home and listen to that this afternoon. It was like on repeat, and then all the other Pentatonix songs were on repeat on my playlist this week. So good. And so this song reminds us that Jesus was more than an ordinary baby. He came as a baby, but all the things that were mentioned in the song, he did those too. And the writer is asking Mary if she knew that her baby would do all of these things. If she knew that he would walk on water, calm a storm, give sight to the blind, heal the lame, you know, save all people everywhere through all time, make everybody new, no big deal, right? And I was thinking this week as I was preparing, you know, I have two kids, and when I think of all the hopes and dreams that I have for Ellie and Eli, not a single one of those things make my list, right? Because those are amazing, and my kids are amazing too, but they're not that, no. But each of these statements that's made in the song is backed up by scripture. Every single one has a story to tell behind it. But before we talk about that, I wanted to talk about Mary. Did Mary know? And we actually don't know a whole lot about Mary at this point in the story. We're going to be looking and reading from Luke 1 this morning. But, you know, we know about Mary. We know that she was the mother of Jesus and all these, you know, we know some about Mary. But if you just look at this text, we don't know a whole lot about who she is. So we're going to read again Luke 1, starting in verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And Gabriel, the angel, is telling her about her son. It's not your typical birth announcement, but we also know from the text that she was troubled, and some texts say that she was scared. And Gabriel says to her, you know, don't be afraid, Mary. God's got this. God's got you. Your son, Jesus, will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over the people forever. His kingdom will never end." And so Mary, who's a teenager, she's like, okay, but how's this actually gonna work? I'm a virgin. She's confused by it. She's like, what? How's this actually going to work? And so then Gabriel explains it to her. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Then Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Some versions say that last part nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible. And then in verse 38, we start to see a little bit more about Mary, about her character and her faith. She's like, okay, I know God has me. I know that God has a plan. Let's do this. I mean, really, I mean, in her actual words, it's, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary said. "May your word be fulfilled. May your word to me be fulfilled." She is saying, here I am. I know that God has a plan. I'm a little bit scared. I'm not really sure how this is going to shake out, but I am willing to do this. That's faith. Faith generated by the Holy Spirit, working through the word of God. Mary believes. And this is perhaps the greatest miracle in the story, I think, because with God, nothing will be impossible. Even faith to believe the impossible. Mary believed. She trusted God, and she knew that her son would be called the Son of the Most High. And nobody tells us what's going on in Mary's mind. Lots of people speculate about what's going on in Mary's mind. I found all sorts of theologians who had ideas about what was going on in Mary's mind. But we actually don't know. But what we do know is that she was ready to serve God and that she had faith to believe. And Mark Lowry, the author of the song, said in an interview once that he's always been fascinated by the concept of God coming to earth. So I'm going to read you a quote. It says, "In a conversation with my mother, I remember she said, 'If anyone on earth knew for sure that Jesus was virgin born, Mary knew.' And that was a profound statement that stuck with me. One thing they couldn't take from Mary was that she knew her child was not ordinary. He said, at the cross on Mount Calvary, while Jesus was dying, her silence was a great testimony to the fact of who he was and is. He said to them, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And of course, for this they nailed him to the cross, and his mother never said a word. As my mind went back to the manger scene, I began to think about the power, authority, and majesty she cradled in her arms. Those little lips were the same lips that had spoken the world into existence. All of those things were contained in the young child lying quietly on her chest. He was the very one who had given life to his mother, Mary. I began writing a list of questions I would like to ask Mary if I could sit down with her. Questions like, Mary, do you know who is in your arms? Did you know that the one who holds creation together and the one who holds you together is lying helpless in a manger? Did you know that your baby boy will walk on water, give sight to the blind, and calm a storm at sea with his hand? How many of you guys have ever thought about if you met a famous person, you'd have a bunch of questions to ask them, right? And you think about it in your head. You're like, well, if I ever met the president, I'd ask this. If I ever met, you know, Gandhi, this is what I'd ask. Mother Teresa. I mean, most of us can think of somebody in our brain that we would like to have coffee with. And we would like to ask them some questions. I'd actually like to have coffee with God and ask him some questions, right? I mean, because we don't understand everything, and it'd be great to have coffee with God, right? And this is basically what Lowry's doing. He's just thinking about what it would be like to actually sit down with Mary and have a conversation with her and ask her some questions about her son. But what we know from Scripture is that Mary knew what Gabriel told her. That's all that we know, okay? That her son would be the Son of the Most High and the Son of God. And in the moment of his birth, she likely never imagined all that he would do. She likely didn't think to herself, yeah, he's going to walk on water someday. Nope. She probably didn't even, you know, didn't imagine that scenario in her brain, right? She did know, however, that her son was unique and that he was God. So I have some questions for us today to think about. The first is, we know that Mary knew, but what do we know? Do we know what Jesus came to do? Do we believe that he came to do all of those things? Do we know why he came and why it matters to us? And if we say yes to that, what are we supposed to do with that knowledge? What are we supposed to do with it? And this morning, our Advent reading came from Isaiah. And so we're going to look at Isaiah and read from it in a second. But it's a foretelling of the coming Savior. And this is a traditional Advent reading because it's the idea that we're preparing for the coming of Jesus in preparation, right? And it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus uses the very same words that Isaiah used, and some more, but he tells us that he is the Messiah that Isaiah was talking about and what he has come to do. This is kind of his mission statement or his purpose statement, if you will, and he just lets us in. If you say, well, what's the point of Jesus? Well, this is what it is. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is a bold statement. And we know that this eventually got Jesus crucified. But from it, we know why he came to earth. That first Christmas, he came to earth because the world needed him, and we need him. In both Isaiah and in Luke, we see who Jesus came to serve. He came to serve the brokenhearted, the poor, the captives, the prisoners, the blind, those in darkness. He came to save the hurting. And whether we recognize it or not, that list, all of us fall on that list. From this passage, we also see that what Jesus came to do and why he came. He came to set people free. That's what he came to do, to set the oppressed free. This is what the good news is all about. This is what the good news does. It heals, it liberates, it frees, it comforts, it provides, it gives beauty and light and hope. His purpose on earth was to do all of these things and all the things that are mentioned in the song and more. So like Mary, we can choose to believe or we can choose to ignore it. And if we believe, we need to recognize that our role, we have a role in the mission of the hope that Jesus brings. We are called to be the light in the darkness this Advent season and beyond the Advent season. So Advent starts today. And during Advent, it's a great time for us to think about how we can do it. It's one of the reasons I love the calendar year for the Christian church, because it's a season where it just brings up and reminds you of all the things that you need to do. You don't have to do it all at once, but there are seasons where we do lament, or where we do fast, or where we do spend extra time in prayer. So it starts today. So it's a time to lament the darkness, the sadness, the hurts, the wrongs. And it's a time to stand in the gap for those who are falling and fight for those who cannot fight. There is so much opportunity for us to join Jesus in his mission today. So, what are your plans for Advent? That's my question for today. Well, I have lots of them, but that's one of them. How are you preparing for Christmas this Advent season? I would encourage each family unit here to pick up one of the Advent boxes on your way out. I am so excited about these Advent boxes, you guys, because one, we put a lot of effort into them, but the goal of them, they're designed to help you prepare for Christmas. They're designed to get you thinking at least one time a week about how we can prepare for Christmas. And for those of you who have been around a while, you might have heard us say something like the 25 days of Christmas calendar or the 12 days of Christmas calendar. Those are all in the box. Everything that we normally do kind of independent ministry-wise is in one box for you to take home. All right? And the goal of it, there's a gift every week. The goal is for you to open the gift, spend a few times in devotion, and then go about your week preparing. It's not something that takes a lot of time, so I'd encourage everybody to do it. There's also, there's a daily devotion in there if you're interested. There's some fun Advent playlists that we put together for you. There's a variety of different things. So please be sure to pick up a box. Again, it's one per family or one per household, and you can do that. Again, parents specifically, this is a great way to talk about Advent and talk about Jesus with your kids. So please consider doing that. But it is for all ages, so everybody grab one. There's a lot of other ways that you can shine light into the darkness this season. Many of the women here this morning, including myself, are participating in a campaign called Dressember. Most of you have probably never seen me in a dress, and there's a reason. I don't like wearing dresses. But I'm wearing a dress every day in December so that I can stand with women who cannot stand for themselves. Okay? Dressember is a campaign to raise awareness and funds to fight modern-day slavery. Next week, if you wear a dress, gals and little gals wear dresses. Guys, I also had somebody ask about kilts, but you can wear a bow tie. If you have a bow tie, or even if you don't, go buy one. You can stand in solidarity and wear a bow tie. And for every bow tie or dress, next week, Cascade Covenant will donate $5 to International Justice Mission on your behalf. And the idea is that we believe that modern-day slavery can be ended in our lifetime, and we want to do our part in that. And so when you see somebody with a dress, they might not be a part of the Dressember campaign, but people think when they see dresses, they see weakness, and that's not a thing. That's not okay. And so we're standing against that as a church with hundreds of thousands of people to say, we stand for Jesus. And the goal is to raise money, but it's day three. It's December 3rd today. They've already raised $300,000. I mean, this is a big deal. And another random thing that I wanted to share with you. So in December, so we'll make a donation as a church to IJM. And I'm really hoping that you guys all wear dresses so that we can make a big donation to IJM. But in December, it's matched. So it's even double. It's instead of $5, it's like we're given $10. So please consider doing that next week. But it's a simple way and a bold way that a dress can make an impact because it's bigger than a dress. It's shining light into and onto the dark places of this world. And it's saying that Jesus is light. And as a church, as believers, knowing that Christmas and Easter are coming, we can look around at the evil and we can look around at the hatred and the fear and we can stand against it. Jesus came to save the world. And the church, our purpose here is to love the world with his love. We pray for renewal and restoration. We pray for healing and hope. We respond and we bring what we have to the fight and we trust God because he moves in ways beyond what we can even imagine, just like he did that first Advent with Mary, just like Mary, in ways we would never imagine. As believers, we can face the darkness around us because the light means so much more. And today, we lit the candle of hope, the first candle of Advent. And we remember that Jesus is our hope. He is the hope of the world. Mary knew who her son would become because she had faith and was willing to say, I'm ready to serve God in whatever way he thinks I'm able to. Not in whatever way I want, but in whatever way he thinks I'm able to. So are we willing to enter into the story of the first Christmas and say that too, to receive Jesus and recognize his power and join with each other to partner with him in his mission to reach the world? I really hope that we're ready to do that. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that we can read scripture knowing that you came and that you are the savior of the world and that you will come again. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to come and to save us, the brokenhearted, the poor, and the captive. Help us, Father, to open our hearts to you this Advent season and our homes to Jesus as we prepare and remember the greatest gift. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. We are going to be